Welcome in to a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins, and for the next 3 hours, we want to open your mind if we may. We've done that from time to time, given it a few expansion techniques. But the mind, of course, is something we want to deal with tonight. But more than the mind, the spirit. Those very basic things about yourself that you need to get in touch with. And we have a way to get in touch with them. And we're going to do that with something that you are most likely familiar with. It may have perplexed you from time to time. It may have awakened you and frightened you. It may have caused you to wonder. It's called a dream. Oh, have you ever wondered about a dream? Have you ever been fascinated by a dream? Has it taken you on trips of fancy? Has it frightened you? Has it portended things for you? Has it bored you? Well, all of those things, I think, probably can happen in the world of the dream. And it's one thing for me to wonder about them and for you to wonder about them and for us to be perplexed by them and certainly mystified by them and sometimes awed by them. And you hear very beautiful music with them and see wonderful sights and sordid sights and crazy sights. How about talking to somebody who knows dreams? Well, that's what we're going to be. It is our little dream trip on a Saturday night tonight. Dr. Arthur Bernard, welcome to Open Mind.
Thank you, Bill. That's quite an introduction. My gosh. I was mesmerized in a dream world listening to you.
Listen, dreams have done me in time and time again. Have done me up and done me down and just divorced me. And there will be periods in which I don't even have dreams. And, you know, I miss them. But my dreams are always in color.
Well, most creative people's dreams are in color.
People tell me they have black and white dreams, and I don't understand that.
Well,
that's a good turn up to Chromaco. And, you know,
put a filter through, through that. But it's not entirely true, because in laboratory studies it's been proven that most people do dream in color, except they forget the color very rapidly.
Really?
And they remember the action, the movement, the feelings, but the color fades very, very rapidly. So rarely do people dream in black and white. They may remember it in black and white as they recall the dream. In laboratory studies, when they've awakened people, and the first thing they ask the person is, what were the colors? And the people with fairly accurate statements recall the colors.
Mm. Give us a little bit of background about you, Arthur. Where are you from, and what are you doing, and why are you here?
Okay, well, I'm a psychologist and a marriage, family, child counselor. And I have a dream center in Sherman Oaks, and I do individual couple counseling. But I also specialize in doing dream work. I teach people how to use and understand their dreams. I train therapists, psychologists, and psychotherapists how to use dreams. And actually, what led me to dreams was when I went into psychotherapy 27 years ago. And I think it's worth mentioning to you, Bill. The analyst after the first session said to me, and by the way, make sure if you have a dream to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I don't remember my dreams. And he said, well, you will. And I said, well, why? Why are they important? He said, sit down. I have a story to tell you. And very briefly, I think it is worth mentioning. The story was, it was his first big case. It was a minister's son who had been drafted into the armed forces, was sent to Europe during World War II as a chaplain. Chaplains are not supposed to fight. The Germans launched a surprise offensive near the end of the war. He had to help defend the camp. And he killed two German soldiers in hand-to-hand combat. He literally throttled them to death. And his mind snapped. He was sent back to the States, in and out of VA hospitals. The Army is not very sympathetic to situations like that, especially in wartime. And he had this repetitive nightmare that the psychiatrists, Army psychiatrists, would not deal with. And they poo-pooed it. He had good periods and bad periods. And finally, when he was out of the hospital during a good period, he heard about this analyst that I was working with. And made an appointment, came in, sat down, and said, Dr. So-and-so, look, this is what I have done. And I have a repetitive nightmare 4 or 5 times a week, and I wake up in a cold sweat. You're a big man with the dreams. Tell me what it means. The dream was roughly he was back on the battlefield. He was sitting down, getting ready to eat a piece of strawberry shortcake. In front of him were two dead German soldiers. Their eyes had been gouged out. As he took the first piece of strawberry shortcake, went to put it in his mouth, he noticed that the strawberries were the eyes of the dead German soldiers, and he was about to ingest them. And he woke up terrified. So the analyst looked at him and said, "Well, I think I know what your problem is." The man leaned forward and said, "What is it?"
"Don't eat strawberry shortcake."
And the analyst said, he pointed his finger at this man, and he said, "You, my man, are a murderer and a killer, and you loved it." And the man jumped up, let out a scream, and took off. Ran down the hall, down the steps, across the street, jumped in his car, and was gone. Of course, a week later, he called back, made an appointment, came in, sat down, and said, "You have taken tons off my shoulders." He said, "I never could admit that part of me enjoyed that experience. Because the strawberry shortcake was dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And under certain conditions, one really has to accept the fact that we all could kill. We all could murder in a rage of self-protection." And once
he
could
understand...
It's
a matter of semantics. A man is going to kill you or you're going to kill him. And so, you know,
right.
You enjoy killing him rather than enjoy him killing you.
So I looked at that and I said, "My gosh, you can tell that from a dream." And that's when I began studying my dreams. And I had a dream that told me to open the Dream Center 10 years ago. I wanted to specialize in something when I became a therapist. And this dream told me, open the Dream Center. And that's how I came into existence.
You have done it. You've opened the Dream Center. I must tell you, Arthur, that in the years that I have been doing this show, one of the things that comes up quite often in many of the conversations we have with the psychic people or the transmediums or as we get into things metaphysical is the question of dreams. And what do they mean? And we've had people to look at dreams and talk about them a little bit. I have not really paid that much attention to dreams, although I've certainly realized the importance of a dream, or sometimes just the nonsense of a dream, or the absence of a dream. They can be precognitive.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly can be very revealing. They're always telling you something. They're playing you back something. Or maybe they're just entertaining you. Maybe you need to have. But I think that the interesting thing that you seem to be getting into is that this is a great facet of life. This is a part of your makeup. And like any other part of life, it should be something that is very constructive and progressive and evolving for you, rather than something that's just floating around all of the time, which has little or no meaning, or sometimes provocation. Can we work with dreams? Can we use them?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what they're for?
The dreams are for our basic growing awareness to help us see where we're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have a limited conscious mind. And I think that the unconscious mind is much broader, much vaster, and can hold many more ideas. And I think it can see much clearer. I think dreams are really much closer to the truth of a person than his conscious mind. I think the conscious mind is messed up, actually.
We know that going in.
And I think that the unconscious mind tries to straighten us out.
It has its problems.
I see. It certainly does. I mean, I can't understand why people dismiss dreams as irrelevant. You know, we have all kinds of an internal mechanisms. There's a central intelligence that regulates our metabolism, that regulates our kidney functions, our pulse rate, our blood pressure. And if something goes wrong, there's adjustments in the body.
You see, you're reading my mind. Because I wanted to ask you, because I was going to take a break here, where do dreams come from? And you touched upon something that perhaps is very vital. Shall we explore that in the middle? You call it a central intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a spiritual intelligence, which is quite different than your biological intelligence.
I think you're accurate.
Let's get into that in just a second, shall we? Dr. Arthur Bernard is my guest tonight. It's Open Mind. Our subject is a part of yours. The dream. Something that touched a touchstone for those of us here on Open Mind, that there was a central kind of intelligence, and I suggested to you it was a spiritual intelligence that seemed to be regulating everything, and perhaps even those dreams, which is the reason that those dreams can be so terribly fascinating. Where do you go from there?
Well, I think there is, I think there are many different levels of dreams. And perhaps it's just a matter of semantics. Dreams come through the subconscious mind. They come from the physical body through the subconscious mind. They can come from our emotional body. They can even come from other people. Or, as you say, the spiritual mind. I think they can even come from the universal mind.
Same kind of thing, I suppose.
Well,
maybe even more.
Perhaps even more. I think those kind of dreams, those kinds of dreams, you never forget. Those are big dreams. And when you have one of those, you wake up and you go, oh, my gosh. And you immediately must share it with someone else. You cannot keep that kind of dream to yourself. And I think the reason is that it belongs to everyone. It belongs to all of humanity. It usually is a statement for all of us. The usual everyday jetsam, flotsam dreams you often don't share. But a big dream, that you must
talk. Something that moves
talk.
You. Yeah.
Moves you it. Internally. I think dreams, as I mentioned a moment ago, also come from the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I think this spiritual mind or central intelligence
works with all of that.
All of it. Works with the whole system. And of course, some dreams are more important than other dreams. But I think all of them have some significance.
Well, dreams just do so many fascinating things. I have heard music that I could never buy in my dreams. Huge orchestras and choruses playing. And I'm sitting there keeping time, and my wife says, what are you doing? Don't wake me up. I said, I wish you could come to the concert.
You're listening to the inner music.
She's used to that for
sure.
Me. I said, I wish I knew how to write music. I'd like to write this down. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you go on trips of what seem to be fantasy. Sometimes you relive in some sort of an abstract or very real way some of the things that are on your mind that maybe happened that day or another day.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things you dream seem to come around and be.
Dreams.
You dream them before they happen.
Well, I'm not so sure that you dream them before they happen.
Oh,
I think you're dreaming them as they're happening.
Now, a couple of days before, or a week before, I think I have to say, author, that was before.
Well, I know, but they're happening in the psychic state
uh-huh.
at that moment. It just takes a while for the physical state
That's
to
right.
catch up to it.
There is no time or no space in that realm that sometimes I think dreams come from, if not all of the time.
Right. The laws of time and space are just defied.
That's right. We move in a linear way. Our mind doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it is from our mind, or from our spiritual intelligence, or from our touch of the many facets of information that come to this mind of ours, this brain of ours, which are certainly far more than just the five senses that we read about in school. We're learning that we are in touch with more than that. I think we can prove that. I think it'll be more difficult to disprove that than it would be to prove that. That's the way it goes.
Right.
So we have all of that played out for us all the time. But probably, and maybe this is what you're about, is that we don't pay enough attention to what the dream state is telling us.
I think many people don't. I think they dismiss the dreams as being irrelevant or with no meaning because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand, they dismiss as irrelevant, but it's really a statement of their own ignorance. Because dreams have a different kind of a language. It's the language of symbols. It's the language... It's like learning a foreign language, where dreams defy the laws of logic. You can talk to a canary in a dream. You can breathe underwater. You can swim with whales. You can fly with the eagles.
Go through space.
Go through space. You know?
Travel at the speed of light.
Exactly.
Play piano concertos.
You know, Bill, when you said the speed of light, when Einstein was 12 years old, he had a dream that he was on a magic carpet, a sled, and the sled was speeding through the universe. And as the sled sped up, the stars and the universe started to bend. And he said that he spent the rest of his life describing and elaborating this dream.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of discoveries have been made in dreams.
Well, Nikola Tesla You know who he was?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't dare go to bed without a notepad behind him. Right there.
I know.
And he quite often wrote in that notepad and never even remembered writing in the notepad. And it was quite often a great adventure for him to wake up in the morning and to find out what he had written.
Really?
And what he wrote gave us things like the electric generator, the alternating current, the electromagnetic wave that we use at this radio station and television station. Just a few minor inventions along the way.
Right. And I'm sure there are many others that we don't know about.
He alluded to a bunch of them, and so did Einstein. Einstein, both were very... Einstein, Tesla, these people.
Right.
Quite candid about the great respect they had for the dream world.
Mm-hmm. Einstein called it his imaginative side. He said, to know is nothing, to imagine is everything.
Don't imagine, you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, if you can't imagine anything other than the world we're in right now, it's going to stay the way we are. Which now, of course, will bring on mass suicide.
Yeah. Right.
We do have to constantly be doing it. So we're tapping upon areas of creativity which are quite spiritual. Mm-hmm. We're tapping upon problem solving. Because there's always a way to solve a problem, and we usually have that problem solved somewhere within our psyche. But we don't let it out, and perhaps this is our own way of letting that out. Can we solve problems in the dreams?
Oh, absolutely. I actually did my PhD thesis on this. And the title is Problem Solving Through Dreams. I took several hundred subjects and had them select a very difficult problem that had existed for a long time, something they had worked on. And a major percentage of these people, through the process of dream incubation, which is trying to stimulate a certain type of dream, plus the use of hypnosis, a major portion of these subjects were able to resolve certain issues, or at least see the problem in a new perspective or a new light. So certainly, people can program their dreams. I think one should try and solve their problems consciously. We're made to live consciously. And when you get stuck, put it aside and allow your subconscious mind to work for you. The old expression, sleep on it.
Was not a dumb expression.
Absolutely.
It came from a lot of wisdom and a lot of human experience.
Yeah.
And perhaps we're just better able to define it these days. But there is a way to not necessarily program the dreams so much, but to program yourself to recall the dreams and understand what they're saying.
Yes, not even program dreams per se, but program a specific dream on a certain subject. Not a, this is the type of dream or the exact dream I want to have. But let's say I want a dream regarding this relationship or a dream regarding this metaphysical question that I've been struggling with. More the subject, and then the unconscious will present to you information on that particular area.
Well, it seems that most people have a problem remembering the dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely, most of us dream every night during periods of our sleep.
Yes.
We just don't remember them.
That's right.
Is there a way to learn how to remember them? Is there something that we can...
A technique.
A programming, because we've obviously programmed ourselves not to.
Well, I think we'd be overwhelmed if we remembered all of our dreams.
There's
we would be overwhelmed. 2 hours. We dream 2 hours each evening. And as the evening goes... As we go through the evening, the dream periods get longer until right before awakening, the dream is 30 minutes to an hour.
I don't know if you can take 2 hours of television.
No.
Can't you take 2 hours of a dream?
Oh, just the material would be overwhelming. I think that you couldn't handle all that material, Bill.
Well, that's true. Television's not giving you much material.
Right.
A lot of visuals and a lot of sound, but not much material.
I think the first thing to do is that whenever you have a dream, record it, number one.
Can we get into some of those techniques before we get to our call?
Yes.
But before we do that, I have a technique.
All right.
It's called How to Keep Us All Alive and Well on KABC. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind with me in applying his art and skills and craft and education, profession, to this fascinating world of dreams. And I know you want to talk to him about dreams. We're going to talk just a little bit about technique, and then we want to talk to you. Let me give you the numbers so you can get into us. All of our numbers, as you know, end in talk. T-A-L-K.
Oh, I suppose.
Well, I'll have to talk to the lady that came in. What can we do to better access the volumes of most likely important information that is being played back to us each night in our dreams?
There are several things, Bill. The first thing is, suggest to yourself before you go to sleep, as you're lying down, that tonight you're going to dream, not only dream, but recall, get up, and write it down. And when you do have a dream, no matter what time the awakening occurs, record it. Because if you don't, you're just telling the unconscious, I'm not taking you seriously. Also, when you awaken in the morning and you don't remember a dream, lie still and keep your eyes closed, because a dream may be right there. You don't want to open your eyes and think about what's coming up the next day or what I did the previous day. Just lie still and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Very softly. And what was I dreaming? And just don't move for 2 or 3 minutes. If nothing comes back in 2 or 3 minutes, chances are you did not recall a dream. Drink 2 or 3 glasses of water before you go to sleep, because frequent awakenings during the evening will help you recall dreams. My last technique is flawless. If you are the type that really wants to remember dreams, give up something until you recall a dream. Give up smoking, give up coffee, even give up sex, give up television, the movies.
Are dreams really that important?
Well, I honestly, myself, Bill, do not feel quite right if I go too long without remembering a dream. It's almost as if just remembering the dream seems to release certain energies. It seems to have an effect on me. The fact that I dream is the most significant thing. The fact that I remember the dream is the next helpful thing. And then thirdly, when I attempt to understand the dream, it's just an added addition to what I already know. So those, I think, are probably the best techniques.
Well, I like what you say. Now, let's take the life of most everybody. They get up in the morning. This is kind of a standard life, right? Go through their morning ritual. Go to work. And then they come home and do whatever they do in the evening and go to bed. Now, what's more fun? The things that happened in your dream or that routine that you went through? But what would we spend time remembering? That routine, which generally is quite a bore. Well, unless you have an exciting one.
Well, this...
Dreams are more fun.
Well, if you're leading a... That's an interesting point you just made. Because one function of dreams is they try and compensate the conscious mind, which is if you go too far in one direction, the dream will give you the opposite point of view. But if you are dreaming about an unhappy situation, let's say your job is boring, your relationship is a drag, and so on and so forth, and you're dreaming about these things, you're at the stage where you're becoming overloaded. Your unconscious mind is letting you know that you need to have some diversion, some balance. And the compensatory function is not working. So people who are in bad situations, who dream about them, usually need to do something else. They did dream studies during World War I in the trenches. As long as men on the Western Front dreamt about being back home with their girlfriends, their wives, their families, their children, they were stable. As soon as they started to dream about being under combat, being under fire and life-threatening situations, they often snapped and were sent back home.
Yeah, they had to deal with it 24 hours a day that way.
That's right. Yeah.
So the dreams offer an escape, a way out, probably a home.
Yes, a balance.
Probably a dream.
Probably a dream.
Interesting how the ancients who put together this language in their own way knew what they were doing. But we do need to pay attention to them, and there are techniques to them. And they mean a lot to us, and you've studied a lot about those. And I see the calls are lining up that they have a... You like to talk about dreams.
Oh, absolutely.
You just told me that you never get tired of listening to dreams.
Right.
Well, I have an idea that you're not going to get tired here tonight with us on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's KABC. Dr. Arthur Bernard is with me. It's dream time. I'm quite often accused of being in 24 hours a day. The dream state, but there's There's more to that. Thank goodness there are dreamers in this world.
Daydreamers.
Daydreamers and night dreamers. Or otherwise, I don't think anything would ever get off center. It would probably go the other way. Okay, Al, you're on. Welcome aboard. Hello, Al. Earth to Al.
I think we lost Al.
No.
There he is.
Yes. Hello, Bill.
I just dreamed that I touched the button.
Hello, Bill and Dr. Bernard. I enjoyed meeting you Tuesday night, Bill.
Thank you. Were you there?
Yes, I was there.
Oh, we had a dandy time.
That's the only way I met you, was being there. How can I say this? Of what I've heard, I can relate to about a sixth of it.
You're doing pretty good.
The other five-sixths, I'm not with it. For one thing, the dreams that I have, what can I say, unearthly.
Can you give us an example?
If I could, I would have written them down on the pad that I've had next to my bed for at least 15 years.
What do you mean by unearthly?
They are usually of a subject that I cannot associate with in reality.
Welcome to Open Mind. Open your mind. What is the subject?
They are not anything that I can put my finger on. The colors are different.
Can you
colors I have are different. The sounds I have are different.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work do you do, Al?
I have many hats. I have been a radio announcer and disc jockey. I was with the brewing industry for 24 and a half years. I have
had
my own band.
You got two problems right there. A brewmaster who was a disc jockey.
Not a brewmaster.
Well, they coincide.
Anybody who knows what Crozen to beer is in trouble.
The few that I have had that I couldn't relate to reality were so real that I didn't have to write them down. Mm-hmm. For instance, you touched on something about jobs. Every time I've taken a new job, I have dreamed of that job. And I remember I was a salesman for one of the large record companies for a long time. And I would call on the accounts, and I would go through the whole shot. The only thing that was different were the dream people were better than the day people. Mm-hmm. It was a nicer route.
So you've had precognitive dreams that have given you a look at what was coming up.
Only once.
Once.
Only once, and that happened a few months ago. There was a large flash. I had been up rather late the night before, and I guess I probably slept until maybe 10. And I got up and took my shower and had breakfast, and the first inkling of anything I had was when I listened to Paul Harvey, and he mentioned a catastrophe that had happened. And nothing related, but the
don't
impact...
Don't tell Paul that.
Pardon?
Don't tell Paul that.
Well, no. The impact of the Harvey show was enough that I tuned on the first news program I could around 4 or 5. And when I saw the astronauts blow up, I said, my God, that's what I saw in the dream. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I've ever had that I can recall of precognitive.
You also, did not you say a moment ago that you actually had a look at jobs that you were going to be hired for?
No.
Oh, I see.
I was hired, and then, after I was in it three days, I would dream of that job at night.
Oh, I see. Well, obviously, you dream about what is on your mind.
Only on those occasions.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the desk or wherever I happen to be doing something pretty much like what I do, and yet very, very far removed from it.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? Do you remember what the feeling was?
Usually, if I woke up and I was having the dream of, say, on the sales route, I thought, my God, why can't I have those people instead of the ones that I have?
Yeah,
and in the other ones, it was just, well, man, they just aren't the same. They're different.
Have you had a lot of different types of jobs? Do you change employment frequently?
No, the last one, as I said, I was on for 24 and a half years.
Yeah.
But during that,
yeah.
I also...